السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: حبك شيء يعمي ويصب، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, has granted us the gift of Iman. Iman is the golden ticket. It is the golden ticket because it guarantees Jannah. So the person who has Iman, if he is someone who is practicing, then he will immediately go into Jannah. He will not have to go in the fire of Jahannam at all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. Or otherwise, he may have to spend some time in Jahannam. But sooner or later, he will enter Jannah and he will remain there forever. So Iman is the golden ticket. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, He has granted all of us, He has kept that golden ticket. He has given us that golden ticket. So our mission number one in life, of top priority, is that we should make sure that this golden ticket, it does not fall out of our hands. We don't lose it. That should be number one priority. This world will come to an end. I become a millionaire in this world. I become the most popular person in the town. I become someone who everyone looks up to. Someone who has such an influence that whenever anyone needs some important task doing, they come to me. I can be on top of the world, but all of this will come to an end. But the result, what a person gains from that golden ticket of Iman, will never come to an end. So, when a person understands that, then even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a person in such a position where he stands to lose everything in this world, from a millionaire he has to become someone who has no roof over his head on the streets. Even if that was to happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being very merciful and understanding that we are not like the people of the past. We are weak. He doesn't test us like that. But even if the test came like that, that we had to lose everything in this world, we had everything in this world, and the option was to lose everything in this world or lose your Iman, then we should, even in that situation, we would tell ourselves that I lose everything in this world. If I don't lose it now, I will lose it when I pass away anyway. And on the other side, this golden ticket of Iman, it guarantees me success forever. So first we must understand this principle. The next thing we must understand is that Iman gets snatched away when it is weak. If Iman is strong, then it is difficult for it to be snatched away. If a house has strong foundations, it has been built well, it has been maintained as well, from time to time, it has been checked by experts, make sure there is no weakness, then when a storm comes, then it is more likely to remain standing. And if a house hasn't been built very well, or it was built well, but then over time it was not maintained, then when a storm comes, then it is much more in danger of collapsing. So similarly, if our Iman is strong, then when a storm comes, when a test comes, when Shaitan tries to blow that Iman over, then it will remain standing. And the most important and the most effective method of keeping Iman strong is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person, the more he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the stronger his iman becomes. So if I don't perform 5 times salah, my iman will be weaker than that person who performs the 5 times salah. If I don't stay away from the misuse of the tongue, my iman will be weaker than that person who stays away from the misuse of the tongue. Every disobedience of Allah we do makes our iman weaker. And every single obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do makes our iman stronger. So whenever we get the chance to do any obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is something small, do it with this intention that it will make my iman stronger. Something as simple as saying subhanallah once. Or a person doesn't normally perform salah, and one day the thought comes in his mind, let me perform salah. Maybe he sees someone else going to the masjid. Maybe he sees someone else performing salah in his house. Even at that time, he shouldn't think that I don't perform any salah. For the last so many years, I haven't performed a single salah. Today, I haven't performed any salah. What's the point of me performing this salah? No. At the very least, this salah will strengthen your iman to some degree. And it may be that this slight strengthening of your iman will come in use the next time shaitan tries to blow your iman over. He tries to break it. And on the other side, whenever the opportunity comes to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person should think to himself that this will weaken my iman and it may put me in great danger. But today, what I wish to discuss is that we have already understood by now that iman is the most important thing. That means in every single decision of ours. So one is that you have a decision to obey Allah Ta'ala and disobey Allah Ta'ala. That is pretty obvious what we need to do. We must obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even in every single worldly decision, any important worldly decision, we should also, where you know it seems to us that both possibilities are permissible, we should also think to ourselves that which possibility is better for my iman. Let me give you a very simple example. I have the opportunity to move out of this area and go to another area. Maybe there is a job opportunity available there. Maybe there are more relatives there. So what do we normally do? We look at the pros and the cons. We look at the house prices there, or we look at is a house available to rent. And there is no harm with looking at all of that. Deen teaches us to plan thoroughly. We look, you know, is a school nearby for my kids? What is the school like, etc., etc. But with all of this, we should look at something else as well, which is that long term, which decision is better for my deen? If the decision of moving ticks all the other points, it's, you know what, the area is better, the schools around that area is better, I have more relatives in that area. But when you come to the final check, that which is more beneficial for our deen. And in this, when it comes to this check, sometimes we may need to get expert advice as well. We may need to ask an alim, you know. We may need to ask someone who is practicing in this area, or someone who is religious in that area. And when it comes to this final check, then we come to a conclusion that no, the area which I am currently in, the environment here is better. There is more of a religious environment here. The masjid is closer. I am in an area where tabligh jamaat efforts regularly take place. So every so often someone knocks on my door and gives me a bit of a reminder. I'm in the area where regularly where programs of ulama take place. So if I want to benefit, if I want to send my children to benefit, I can do so. And as a result, this final check comes as a cross. Then all of the other benefits to one side, this final check should make us think, no, I can't risk my iman. And every single decision. I give one example. A person is young, he's growing up, he's an option to marry someone. And there are two options on the table. And one option ticks everything. But when it comes to the final check, that it is better for my iman and my deen, there is a cross there, then a person should not take that decision. The thing that is most valuable is protected the most. Every person understands that. If a person has a diamond in his house, an extremely valuable diamond, and he has it in some safe, in some hidden place, and if there is a danger, if there is a danger of thieves coming into the house, that he has heard that, you know, there has been a lot of robberies in the area, number one priority is in his head will be that needs to stay safe. And if someone breaks it, and he realizes when he comes home, number one thing he will do, he will go and check that is a diamond safe. So our number one priority should be, is my iman safe? Iman is far, far more valuable than a diamond. Even that diamond will part with a person when he passes away. Iman will never part with a person. It will give a person unlimited diamonds in the hereafter. So the hadith which I mentioned today is concerning decision making. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that your love for something makes you blind and deaf. What does that mean? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is here telling us something extremely important about the psychology of a human. What is that? That when a person becomes inclined to something, especially if it is sudden, he falls in love with something. And it doesn't have to be a person. Maybe it is a person, maybe it is something else. A job opportunity comes, he gets a few details and he falls in love with it, meaning he feels really inclined to it. Or any other decision. Then your love for something makes you blind and deaf. What does it mean? When you fall in love with something, when you become extremely inclined towards something, then you cannot see the negative points of it. A person falls in love with someone of the opposite gender. And as a result, he thinks to himself that, you know, I want to get married to this person. So, number one, this love and this inclination will not allow him to see the negative points. And number two, even if someone tells him that the person you are getting married to, they have this bad habit or they have that bad habit, or the area which they are living in, which you will have to move into, is not a great area at all. Or the family, and people can put 10 negatives in front of him. But that love and that inclination which he has will always make him think, not important. There is much more positive here. And the same goes for any decision. So whenever such an opportunity comes to make a decision, and especially if a person, he feels inclined to one option over the other, then he should be very, very careful. It's possible he has his love has blinded him of so many harms, and worldly harms and dini harms. And it is only after that he makes a decision that he will regret. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman. It is possible he will regret in the hereafter as well. And like I said, unfortunately, we do this all the time. I give the example of someone getting married. And you can apply this to any decision. But whenever a decision comes, then number one, a person should be very careful. Especially, he should not base the decision on his initial inclination. And something else which is extremely beneficial, which he should do to avoid this obstacle and to avoid this trap, is that he should consult someone else. He should consult a third party. Who should he consult? He should find someone who has a feeling and love for him and compassion for him. Because that person will make sure that they give you the best advice possible. He has a decision that a job offer comes. It is a very well-paid job offer. It is much better than what he is currently doing. But as a result, he will have to move. So he feels inclined to find some people. Yes, study the pros and cons yourself. But the second thing you must do is find someone who has love for you, who has feeling for you. Maybe it is your parents, maybe it is someone else. And put the pros and cons in front of them. And tell them, this is what I am inclined to. When you do that, then the great benefit you will get is that they will be able to consult you and they give you consultation, and they will give you an impartial opinion. If I have a job offer on the table, I am inclined to it because I am to benefit. If I go and consult with someone, they are not going to benefit from that. If they are not going to benefit from it, then their heart is not inclined automatically to one option. I want to get married and I have fallen in love with one option. So if I go to do mashara with someone to ask for consultation, they're not going to get married to either one. So they will be able to give you an impartial opinion. If a person does this, then he will be safe from so many harms. So this is a simple, very simple lesson that we should learn today. And especially
when we are young. When a person, through experience, he trips once, he trips twice, he trips thrice. Afterwards, his own experience tells him that the last time I found one option, really, it looked really attractive, it turned out to be something else. But especially when a person is young, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a principle that inna dunya hulwatun khadiratun, that this world is, it is sweet, khadiratun, and it is very pleasing to look at. So those things that take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that make our, put our deen in danger in particular, those options are, look even more attractive. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was explaining that the world looks is very appeasing to look at, or those things in the world which take us away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very appeasing to look at, the word he used was khadiratun. And what does khadiratun literally mean? Khadiratun literally is used to describe plants. It's used to describe plants when they are in flowering season and they're green, and if it is a flower as well, then it is colorful. It's very pleasing to look at. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the same way, those aspects of the world which distract you and which try to take you away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the same. What does that mean? They are very pleasing to look at. But these plants, these flowers, you wait a few months down the line, autumn, winter, you go look at the same garden, you don't even want to spend a few minutes there. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us the same thing. That decision, that option which looks so appeasing to you right now, and you, as a result, you take that option. Few months down the line, or if not few months down the line, then a few years, and if not, then definitely in the hereafter, then you will realize the reality of it. So number one, let us make our protecting our iman a priority. Number two, as a result, let us stay away from the disobedience of Allah and adopt the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala however much we can, wherever we get a chance, whether it is small or big. And number three, in every decision of ours, let us keep iman at the forefront, and let us, as a result, be very careful in making the decision. Where we feel we may slip, then consult other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice some of what has been said. Ameen. Wa da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. But I requested that every Tuesday also we have a short program. It's not very long, 20 minutes sometimes, 30 minutes. So everyone is requested to participate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Jazakumullah khair.